Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. I am your host, Candy Taylor Jeter, aka Single Mama Diva, and I am here to discuss with you a topic about something that I've discovered from a woman that I met called a birth blueprint profile. And I thought that it was important to actually share this with everyone because I initially got the blueprint profile for myself, and then once I saw how useful it was for me, I then decided that I would actually get the blueprint profile done on my children. I'm going to give you a little bit of information about what a blueprint profile is. Blueprint profile is your a snapshot of your life's destiny. It has a lot of information in it about what motivates you, your personality tendencies, your weaknesses, your strengths, how to be your best self, how to increase some of the things that you're already doing, or how to incorporate things that may make your life better or enrich your life in some type of way on a spiritual level and also on a very practical level. It contains some methods of astrology, and I would like to go into my testimony as to how I even got into astrology. Like most African Americans, I was brought up in a very structured Christian household, and I had a very heightened sense of awareness from a child about right and wrong, and a lot of the time some of those things seemed like common sense to me, and I was often confused as to why am I sitting and listening to something so elementary. I always kind of felt like I was a bit ahead of myself in the spiritual realm, and I would ask lots and lots of questions to whom which no one ever really had the answers to, which is okay. We don't have to have the answers to everything, but some of us, such as myself, have a very curious mind as to how things work and how things come about. And for me, I must say that it took a while, but after listening to several adult conversations, when I would hear them speak of how the emergency room got busier during a full moon, and coming up on the heels of many conversations from my grandmother and other people who were of age who used to till the soil, how they would use the atmosphere for certain clues and cues as to when to plant, when not to plant. Also, when it came to how the moon interacted with the woman's cycle, and actually how, even in the Bible, stars were used as guides to help people actually find things that needed to be found. And it was very interesting to me. Well, I kind of brushed it off for a very long time, and then I began to get really deep into astronomy. I was always interested in planetariums and always interested in space and the planets and the structure of the planets and, you know, the fact that Saturn was a cold planet and how Mars was one of the closest planets to the sun and how the sun interacted with the Earth. And I became interested in it up until I actually went to school. And I kept trying to figure out Well, why am I no longer interested? Well, at that time, it had become more theoretical, once reading books and things like that, and I kind of lost interest in it. And then one day, I came up in my 30s, around the time that Saturn returns, and with a case of asthma. And I just looked up causes and cures for asthma. And this site came up, and it talked about how rules the nervous and the respiratory system, and how under stress, Geminis are susceptible to respiratory problems or nerve conditions. And I started kind of researching that and stumbled upon a lot of the illnesses that some of my family members were dealing with. And I kind of matched it up with their astrological signs, and about 90% of them came up where there was a correlation between the physical ailments that they were struggling with and when they were born. I shrugged it off once again, and then I went on with my life. Life got a little hectic, and I would buy books here and there and just kind of look at things from what I felt like was more of a curious perspective. Well, it really caught my eye when my sister came to me with a personality measurement system that she uses to conduct seminars based on sanguine, melancholy, phlegmatic, and choleric personalities. And when I looked up where that originated from, it was taken from the elements of the universe, and how the elements of the universe have been transferred over into a lot of other personality measurements. Jung, who came up with the INTP and the Myers-Briggs system that we all use today, kind of had some astrological influences in them. So as I began to research, I kind of veered more from the entertainment perspective and started searching for people who used astrology more for spiritual purposes, because I found it to be very consistent in my life and how it worked, and on point, so to speak. So I asked Dora Jones, who uses astrology for a lot of the work that she does, and found that the way that she uses astrology was in line with my philosophy as well. A lot of people ask questions about why do you use astrology? Do you use astrology to tell the future, or do you use astrology to control things that are going to happen in life? And some people do. I don't. I tend to believe that, you know, ultimately God is in control of our destiny. But I also believe that there are certain things that God gives us within the universe before man ever came up with any of these systems to kind of give us clues as to the things that we need to do. So I asked my guest, Dora, to come and join me today, and I'm going to ask her to just tell you a little bit about herself and some of the work that she does, and then briefly explain to you what the Blueprint Profile is all about. And then I'll go into some of the more applicable aspects as to how I've actually used the Blueprint Profile personally. Dora?
Candy?
Hi, Dora. How are you?
I am wonderful. I'm wonderful.
That's good. I know you're probably tired because you do shows early in the morning now. I really appreciate you coming on.
Oh, you're welcome. It's my pleasure. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, just kind of tell our listening audience, those who are able to tune in, exactly what the birth blueprint profile is.
Wow. Oof. What is it? I usually get so busy preparing it, and each time I'm asked to give a definition of what it is, I say, oh, what is it? Okay.
Right.
It's the birth blueprint profile is a compilation of astrology and numerology to chart our divine plan. It is a map of our divine dream, which identifies and supports our many levels of expression, dimensions, thereby making it easy for us to have a blissful ascension right here on planet Earth. And within the profile, the soul has its own rhythm that charts the inner you, reflecting the movement of key star placements just before our birth and right after conception. At our time of birth, our individual star signs and planets are revealed in our natal profile, and it expresses the outer you. It is your persona. It is the inner soul's outer expression or garment, as so as within, so without, as below, as above, so below. And another component, I think an initial component of the birth blueprint profile that I use is numerology. It is our birth date and birth time. I use that, the name and the date, to determine our vibration and energetic frequencies. So the goal of the birth blueprint is spiritual integration for our ascension right here on the planet into divine love. And it is a profile that I found is exact. It is great at diagnosing what some of the human elements that's really coming from a spiritual place. It can cut the chase. It gets the job done. Used correctly, rightly, it is one of the best. It's one of the best books that I've ever read.
mm-hmm.
I ever read. It just makes sense. I remember when I first started pulling it together, I had used, you know, I'd gotten a chart done, and it was so incomplete. It didn't make sense to me. Wasn't new to astrology at the time, but I wasn't as efficient in it as I am today. But it didn't tell a story. It made me I got more confused, and it just didn't flow. That's what it was. And I like for things to flow. And I always thought that our story, that we are living, that we are here, and we wrote a story. We wrote a great book about ourselves, and there's a plot to the story. And the story has to have a happy ending, and it has to make sense. And it didn't make sense to me. So I kept searching, and then I came up with, let me pull minds together that makes it, you know, here, there. Let me pull it all together and put it in a format that it makes sense to me. And hence became the birth blueprint profiles, and here I am today, and I love pulling them together. So that's the profile.
Okay. What do you have to say to people who think that our environment, whether it be the Earth or the constellations, do not have any effect on our behavior?
Well, I would say to that person, for them, if that is their thinking, that is their choosing, and since we're creating whatever our reality is, if that's what they're choosing in their world, then I would say so be it and leave them alone.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't even try to convince them otherwise. They're, you know, that's their mind. It's theirs. They made it up. I can't change a made-up mind. Only a person can change their own mind. If they are willing to listen, I'll ask a few questions that make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're willing to listen, just to have a dialogue with me from my point of view and not taking anything away from them. Astrology does not take anything away from you. It does not ask you to drop your beliefs about anything because it doesn't have to. It's just, it's such a powerful way of looking at your earth experience and the cosmos if your mind will allow you to go there. Perhaps some people's mind do not allow them to go any place else.
Right.
But your mind can go someplace else. If you can think outside the box, or you can at least look outside your box, if you have one, and most of us do, we frame a lot of things through the way we think, and what we think comes from what we believe, which is a pitiful word that we shouldn't use anymore.
Which word is that?
Believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the word try.
Right.
It doesn't get the job done. It's just a word that we use as an excuse. We've got a lot of words we use as excuse because we don't want to expand our thinking and use more of our brain power. So when a person is really regimented and caught up and they think they have everything that they need to know, then I say so be it. Because you are creating your own world. We are co-creators.
Mm-hmm.
And if I were given an opportunity, then I would approach them by asking just simple questions about themselves. And and so, well, just give me a birthday, and let's see. And once they give it to me and I start talking, they say, well, yeah, this is what they'll say, yeah, that's me, but I still don't believe in astrology.
Well, I happen to look at the word faith in a way that transcends just what we've been taught. And I know that there are a lot of things that we don't see that affect us. And as I was saying before I cued you in, I remember when I was young and I was always very, very intrigued by the constellation. I was always very, very in tune with how weather affected my mood. To this day, usually when I oversleep, it's a rainy day. I can't, even if it's not actually raining at that moment, I will usually because rain makes me sleepy. So I'll usually oversleep on a rainy day. Normally my menstrual cycle changes depending on the moon phase. I mean, it'll completely just change. I mean, it'll go from doing one thing at the end of the month to going to coming at the middle of the month. And if I go and I keep up with the moon, and a lot of us, we don't keep up with these things, so it's kind of difficult for us to make the correlation between what the environment had, the effect that the environment has on us, as well as what our stress level and our emotions can do to our system. And as I said before, I got into astrology due to health reasons. And looking at how our environment influences our health was very interesting and was undeniable for me. and hearing people before technology was really popular, became popular, how they relied on the heavens to tell them things. And when they weren't relying on the heavens, they relied on the animals to tell them things. If the animals reacted a certain way, then people would tend to pay attention because they knew that the animals paid attention to what was going on in the atmosphere and the constellation and the earth and the sea. And I find it to be a very holistic thing when we give up what man actually influences upon us. Because when I came into the knowing of astrology, it actually kind of confirmed what I had already discovered on my own through my development of my relationship between God and creation. And once I made that connection, then I think that was when God allowed me to be able to find something to tie that in together. Because whether it be astrology, whether it be a doctorate degree from a university, or whether it is a theology degree from a seminary, without that relationship with God, with the Creator, and with the creation, and without that respect and that connection to nature and what God has given us to do independently, those things can be used to our detriment. And when I look at people who are suffering, and it's my personality, as you know, to want to offer something, a solution of some kind. And when you are aware of certain things, depending on your personality, I notice with your personality, when someone says something, you tend to just, is that right? Is that what you think? Or is that how you feel? And then you'll kind of let it go, and you'll plant a seed of thought there, not doubt, but thought. And you kind of instinctively make people think about what they just said. Well, is that you talking, or is that your belief talking? Because we are separate from that, even though what we believe can influence how we act. A lot of times what we believe has been influenced upon us through what other people believe, and a lot of people don't really know what their authentic self believes, which I think is key in what you were saying. When you come across someone who's completely against the idea, even though astrology is in everything, once I discovered it, I was like, wow, it's in everything. It's in the Bible. It's in, astronomy, of course, rules it. It's in science. It's in everything. For you to allow people to come into their own is a gift within itself, because I think that's what we don't find when we go places and we seek help. No one ever really asks us, well, what do you think? How do you feel about that? And why do you feel that way? And where did that come from? And how has that served you in your life, or how has that been a hindrance to you in your life, and help you answer your own questions? Which brings me back to the birth blueprint profile, because when I read it, although it's very, very dense and it has a lot of information about things that you need to do, I found it to be more thought-provoking, which is something that I like anyway, hence the title of my book, 25 Thoughts About Your Destiny. I just wanted to give people something to really think about and actually take what God inspires them to do with the information. So that's what I got out of your birth blueprint profile, is that, okay, I'm reading this and I'm looking for Dora to tell me what to do. When I was talking about my son and I was telling you, well, I don't know what type of career I want to influence him to go into. And I was thinking about him taking all of these instrument measurements and of career and personality and things like that, which I'm going to still do. But when I got the blueprint, it caused me to go inward and not reach outward to any of those things until I consulted with God and said, okay, God, first of all, have I given him the foundation that he needs to be able to figure life out for himself? Well, what does he need? Well, he needed some type of spiritual compass to be developed within himself, independent of me. Did I do that? Okay, well, did I make him feel confident, or did I make him feel like he was worthy? Did I make him feel like he could aspire to be anything that he wanted to be? Did I look at his personality and nurture him according to his personality? It put it back on me as a parent to say, well, check yourself first before you decide you want to shove something down his throat. So I wanted to speak to the aspect of the blueprint being more of a introspective tool. It makes you really sit down, and I want you to explain just a little bit as to how a parent such as myself, who is seeking to guide their child in the direction of life without taking over.
Oh, wow. That's what most parents do, and that's such a place of really not knowing self. And when we're in a space of I don't know me, in the context of who I really am, I know my programming, and I know the system that programmed me, but I really don't know me. And I see this a lot in parents. Sometimes I tell parents, you know, it's best if you don't say anything to them, because then they don't have you in their heads. Now, when they have if you're not clear, if a parent is unclear about self, the individual, the you, the God essence of your being, the soul quality of your being, if you live in that thinking brain, that brain of the intellect and the logic and the analyzing, and it's been so programmed out. All the systems on the planet today are geared toward keeping you, keeping the individual in the loop of being heard. And that loop is that we all act alike, and we have the same, we all treat it like a herd of cattle.
Mm-hmm.
And what the blueprint will do is get you out of that, pull you out of that cattle, you know, that den where everybody's singing the same little songs. You know, if you don't sing like this person, you can't sing. Yes, you can. And, you know, you don't need to sing like anyone else, because if we all sounded alike, then why are we here as individuals? I mean, if everything's alike, and we know, you'll say, well, there's, these same people will say that, you know, there are no two snowflakes alike. But yet we want to spend our lives and be just like the Joneses,
mm-hmm.
or just like the Browns. And so what astrology does, and especially pulling together as the first blueprint profile, is the first thing you become aware of is how much you have been programmed.
Right.
By our system. This program is not allowing you to be an individual. You think it is, but it's not. It's governing what you think, why you think that way, where you're going, and how you're going to work within this within the plantation. You're a slave.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking just like all the other slaves. Some say that day is coming. No, that day is here. Now, you're going to have to choose out of it. Astrology will help you to choose out of it, especially pull together in the format that I use in the birth blueprint profile. So to answer your question, what can a parent do first? Know thyself first. If you get to know you in the context of your individual blueprint, your soul's blueprint, the next thing you're going to do is everybody else that you interact with on an up close and personal basis, you're going to want to know theirs. Now you got some boundaries. Now you can say, well, you know, Dora sleeps mornings. She sleeps until sometime noon. I'm not that sleepy, you know. I get up, I don't know why she sleeps so late. I get up at 6 o'clock.
Right.
Okay. Well, you may have all the, you could be all running on programming now, but you're really not back to your own rhythm. You don't know what your rhythm is. You're on school, you're back in first grade when they wake babies up before the moon to have a chance to even go back to sleep. And they got the little ones out. Nobody asked, well, this baby shouldn't be up until maybe 10 o'clock. No, get all the babies up. And get them out. Herd them out. Because they got to be. Let them sit on the little squares. They need to sit on the little squares. Get on your square. And so if a parent is still running that program of what the system say they ought to be, and they're busy trying to be, and, you know, got all the balls up in the air, and they're juggling these balls, and now here comes the baby. Here's the baby. Now what you going to do? You're going to put the baby on the same speed you're on. Or you're going to go and read all these other books about great parenting. But it's like the song Nancy Wilson sings. She says, I've been everywhere. I've done some of everything, but I've never been to me. And now you're in charge of another being. And you don't know who you are. You don't give that child the same programming that you have. And then the slave mentality continues. Because nobody's taking time to take a station break. Let's get some personal identification here, some individual identification. And people, they get all kinds of fabulous pieces of paper. All kinds of credentials. And they're so busy going to make it work. And you're always trying to make it work. And you're not back to yourself. And you look crazy. And you know you look crazy. But it's okay because everybody else is crazy.
Right. Exactly.
So, insane? What does the insane know about the next insane? Well, as long as we all in here crazy. People will say, well, did it happen to you? Then we feel good. Oh, that happened to you too. Well, I'm okay. I'm not the only one that's like that. I'm not the Lone Ranger. Oh, yeah, we all crazy. So there are some of us, what the blueprint does for the parent is get yours done first. That's what I suggest is if you haven't gotten it, get it done. And then I guarantee you your style of parenting will be something new and different. And then get the child. Not so much for the child, but for you. It will help you. When I did mine, of course, at first it was just for me. You know, I guess it's Aquarius thing. Yeah, I want everybody to get it. I do want you to get it, but I don't want to push it off on you. You know, I'm not one of these people that say, well, no, I don't do that. Yeah, if anything, we are individuals in this collective wholeness. So if I'm going to push it off on you, then that's control. So I was not about to push it off on anyone until my clients start looking at them, friends, and they wanted to know what that was and what I was reading. And first, she off into something else now. Because I don't like being in a circle. I would rather be in a straight line and move forward. If I get in a straight line and move forward, I will be creating something new. And I got to use more of my brain. Most of us stay in memory. That's why when people lose their memory, they don't know what to do because we operate on memory. We don't go into the brain and make it give us something new. And I guarantee you that it will every day, but you got to will it to do so. And some of us that haven't done this at all, then the brain go like, you can hear it frying.
Right.
So that's what I would would suggest is first the parent. Come back to you as an individual, not the role that you're playing. That's right. What blueprint will do. It will get you back to your individuality, your unique self. And I guarantee you, when you look out at the whole, the collective consciousness, in each event that you see yourself in it as a part of that which you have created. And once you take this individual look at yourself, and the blueprint, as you said, Candace, is about introspection. It's not a book that you just pick up and read. It's not your typical astrology chart.
Mm-mm.
It's going to make you think. It's going to confirm some things that you've already thought about. And if you read it with an open mind, just a little bit of an open mind, and most people are heavily programmed through organized religion, will have to stretch real far to admit they've always been interested in zodiac and astronomy and astrology, because you always have been. You just don't want your neighbors to know.
Right.
And your leaders come to people like me, but they don't tell
you. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay, because if they did, their program and scheme would have to stop. Because
mm-hmm.
now you've got the same information that they have.
Mm-hmm.
It will stop hero worshiping, too. You think someone
right.
got something that you don't have, that God has given them more of God than, they got more of God than you. Well, your blueprint will help you see that.
Right.
No way. So a parent gets theirs and then take a serious think about taking a good look at yourself. And then introduce your child to the real you. That's next.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of parents don't do, because we lay down rules, and I cannot be letting this child know that I did not know that I did not know that I did not know what I did not know.
Right.
So then astrology will help you to be okay with, I've changed my mind, and I have
mm-hmm.
more information. We got an update now. Let me introduce
mm-hmm.
you to Mommy. This is Mommy without you.
Right.
Okay, astrology will help you to do that, even with your partner. This is me without you. If I were with someone else, this would be me.
Mm-hmm.
If it was just me on the planet, this would be me. This is me. So come into a confirmation with yourself, getting the information, it confirms, it validates, it expands, it makes you think what you don't want to think about. And then you got to reintroduce yourself to your world. So they need
mm-hmm.
to know you now, because your alias been out. You know, the real you they haven't gotten.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got to give yourself, do I dare? Let them see the real me. And we have this secret that we bring with us to the planet. And that's another show. Who are you going to trust with your secret? An astrologer is going to uncover the secret for you. Now you got to have guts enough to share it with other people around you, because it's such a secret that it motivates us. We bring this monad with us, and it motivates us all the time, and yet we're so vague in our personality and the way we interact with each other that we are afraid to let anyone know that this is my secret desire, this is my gift, this is really what I've come to do. But will they let me do it? Oh my! Now that's another level of confidence, because
mm-hmm.
you cannot ask for you got you if you ask permission. This is Aquarius. If you ask permission, you're gonna get told no.
Right.
It's easier to get forgiveness than it is to get permission. So astrology teach you to stop asking for permission to use your gift. Just go
mm-hmm.
Go ahead and start using it. Because this is a blessing. This is something that this is what you really, really want to do. This is what you really, really want. This is what you really, really want to express.
Mm-hmm.
That secret. So parents, get to know you. Introduce this real you to your children. That's what you need to do. These are the steps. And then share with them your new discovery and how you came about it, if they are the age where you can. Some children are not at that age. But if they are not at the age where you can talk to them, then in your actions, introduce yourself. and then share your discovery with yourself. And then get your child's blueprint and get to know this person that you've been trying to steer away from the true self.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not in touch with you. Now, do you have to have a blueprint to do this? Absolutely not. You need to tune in to yourself. But we don't.
Right.
Let's face it. We're busy tuning in to what somebody else say, and I don't tune in to myself. So tune in. If, you know what they say about when you fly on the airplane and the flight attendant is telling you to do what, and she's showing you all the safety features in case a plane crash. What does she say first? Put on your oxygen mask first.
Right.
Even before you put on your child's.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is my philosophy.
That's
to
right.
Design self be true first before I go and try to do something with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm not, I'm crazy. And then I'm going to give you my crazy. Okay,
right.
That's always my analogy. The airline attendant, she stands there and she makes this statement, put on your oxygen mask first.
Mm-hmm.
Get your blueprint. I've had parents that say, well, I'm going to get my towels done. I don't think I need mine. Oh, yeah, you really need yours.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to give your child something that you don't even want to explore. Aren't we good at that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And, I was sitting here looking at my blueprint, and I always talk about instincts and trusting your instincts. And my sister's listening, and I told her to call in because we talk and have all of these conversations quite a bit. And when you sent me my blueprint profile and I looked at my solar eclipse, all throughout my solar eclipse, it talks about trusting your instincts. And I've always trusted my instincts. But in trusting my instincts, it's always made me very different from everyone else. And I've always been reminded of that. And when I began to raise my children and started trusting my instincts, I remember when my mom would try to raise my children the way that she raised us. And if she finally turned it back over and said, look, no one can do this like you do it because you instinctually know how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that when I veer from my instincts and start parenting off of my fears, like with my son, the first thing I told you when I said, well, I want my son to get involved in something because when I asked him what he wanted to do, he said he didn't know. And I meet too many 30, 40, 50-year-old men who say they don't know what they still don't know what they want to do in life. And I don't want him to be like that. And I was coming from complete anxiety. Whereas before, when he was 9, 10, 11, 12, I had not, that reality had not been, had manifested to me, so I didn't have that fear. So I never really pushed them, never really even had a desire. And then I saw my sister, which I always get my information sometimes from my older sisters who have children that are older than me, and I see their boys kind of floundering, and I see the girls just knowing what to do and just doing it. And whether they know what to do or not, they tend to just do it, you know. And I said, wow, I have a son. I don't want him to flounder. I want him because the world is so fast and the world is so vicious that it's really you feel when you're operating in a matrix-type reality, you feel like, okay, the prefabricated reality says you don't have time to flounder. The prefabricated or the prescribed reality says you can't make any mistakes or else you're done, you know. And so then once you start really seeing people who bought into that and who are victims of that, who have felt like failures as a result of that, you tend to start operating out of anxiety and saying, okay, well, son, I really don't want you to do that. So since you don't know what you want to do, let's just do this, and then you can figure it all out later. And then you were like, you said, no, let me do this blueprint. Calm down. Which is easy for you to say because your kids are grown and gone. I'm in the thick of it, and you all the way in Arizona, and you're, you know, out in the sun and in the canyons, and, oh, you're just living the life, in my opinion. So I'm like, okay, where are her babies? You know, her babies are grown, and they're gone, and she's footloose, fancy free, and she's talking about, oh, where am I going to go next? I'm inspired to go to North Carolina. And I'm thinking, I can't move. I can't do that. And I'm thinking, I want my kids to be, you know, to soar and to be independent. And I'm thinking about, oh, God, if they have to come back and live with me, if they have to do this, if they have to do that, I want to get them out and I want to get them together. So I started panicking, and I started coming up with all these ideas, and he was looking at me like, well, okay, if that's what you want. And then when I saw that look, I ignored it. I knew it wasn't right. But then I came to you, and you were like, well, calm down. Let me do his blueprint. Look at his blueprint, and then we'll go from there. So even though my sister is not cued in, I'm going to cue her in, and I want her to say something.
Hello?
Valerie?
Candy.
Yeah, are you there?
Yeah, you can hear me?
I can hear you. You're on the air if you have something to say.
Well, I would have to say that as a result of being open after having such a strong Christian base as a young person, we were taught so strongly against the astrology, and the only thing that was such a big deal for us was, what's your sign, and what's your sign this, and, you know, it was just a fad. But as a 50-year-old woman now, seeing the different personalities, and I see the advantage of knowing the other part of the story, and it kind of fills in a big gap of things that I had been missing out on as a person, and this has helped me, as I learn about myself, to learn about my children. So, I have learned to appreciate this other piece of knowledge that I have found through astrology. And it ties a lot of things together, and I don't have to lose my foundation of being a Christian to have accepted that piece of astrology. It all comes together for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dora, this is my sister Valerie. Valerie, this is Dora, the infamous Dora.
Yes, Dora, I've heard a lot about you despite meeting you, and I have heard a lot of you.
Okay.
And Valerie, I think I emailed you the blueprint, and I don't know if you've had a chance to read it because you're not good at reading emails that I send you. So I'm hoping that you'll
call me out. Call me out.
I'm hoping you'll look at it and possibly even get one for Ronnie, for your son, because I'm finding, Dora, that we're having our boys who are transitioning. We have our rites of passage based on culture that they have for them to go through. We have a lot of programs in the community for our young black males to go through. We have our churches and prayer and strong family ties for some of them, and some of them have had to actually access the penal system for one reason or another. But I find the blueprint to be a very youthful yet non-invasive and spiritual type tool to use to get our children to just slow down. And when I say children, I don't mean 9 and 10. I'm speaking of 20 to 30 years old, you know, because usually right around before Saturn returns, which is around the ages of 30, you start kind of feeling Saturn's influences on your life around the age of 27. Things start shaking up a little bit, start cooking. You get a few cues here and there that something either needs to be changed or either that you're on the right track. And right around the age of 30, things start either taking off or falling apart based on how well you have listened to what your spirit and your instincts are telling you. So her son, Dora, is about 22 years of age, and he's in college, and he's still finding himself, and he's still trying to figure out the direction of what he needs to do and how he needs to do it. And he's coming back home, and I think that this is a good come back home gift for him, along with a session with Dora to
kind
of help him go over his blueprint profile at this point, because she has, like I have, she has two sons. Well, her daughter, we're going to even take her out of the equation because she's so self-contained.
Right.
She's Pisces, and she's just kind of like, I got it, I know, I feel, and she has a really good head right now on her shoulders. Not saying that she won't run into some bumps later in life, but right now the main focus are her two sons. And like my kids, they're two totally different personalities. One is off up in the air and going here and there and all over the place, and one is kind of just here, you know. But both of them are still kind of searching, like most men, young men their age. And I think both of them could actually benefit from the blueprint.
I think
profile.
Both of them. Oh, yes, we need to set an appointment.
I like that.
Yes, we need to set an appointment, and it's already in the budget, so we need to talk.
Because this is the thing, Dora. One is 27 and one is 22. The 27-year-old, he's right there at Saturn return, and he is really being pulled at this point. And whatever decision he makes at this point will have a great impact, I feel, because he's made some decisions before. He's had a lot of close calls in life, but because he's young, he's come out of them relatively easy, okay? Well, as he gets a little older, these penalties begin to kind of stack up. And it's not that we're concerned about his decisions as much as we are concerned about, is he getting the lessons that he needs to learn? We're really just wanting our kids to learn lessons in life, and I'm speaking for myself as well as the 30 single moms, single mama divas that I sent the email to about this show. A lot of them are at work, but they will hear the show. And we just want our kids to learn lessons. And when I looked at the blueprint profile, it has a section in there about lessons to learn. And I know for me, it talks about my challenges are being to learning to trust in other people. Yeah, you know how my trust is in others. Not really. I'm trusting in humanity, but when it comes to persons, I'm not a very trusting person. And the reason why I like the blueprint was because it coincided with my instinctual nature, all the things that I already felt. It was nothing that came in and said, okay, this is who you are, this is how you feel, and this is what you're going to do, and this is how you're going to do it. It actually, before I even knew Dora, said everything that I'd already instinctually felt, which a lot of times we don't get that validation in life, you know, when we tell people, well, I'm really feeling my gut that I may need to leave this marriage. And you get society saying, oh, no, honey, you better not leave because the Bible said and God said and Grandma said, no, if you leave, your days are going to be long and hard. You ain't going to make it. You ain't going to be able to do this, and you're not going to be able to do that. And you end up staying and sacrificing your destiny. Now, I'm not saying that everybody should leave situations. I'm not saying everybody should stay. But all I'm saying is that trusting our instincts is a great start, along with seeking someone who is going to say, well, what do you think? And why do you think that? And I'm going back to that, because this is what Dora does in her sessions, you know.
Right.
And I just found it to be beneficial because, Dora, I've been to counseling sessions and I've tried therapy to, you know, save marriage and to deal with being a single mom and this, that, and the other. And it wasn't until I said, okay, Dora, I need a blueprint. This is it. This is the last little ditch effort. I've written books, and I've talked to the Lord, and I've thought about every other thing that I could do, but life continues to evolve. So what happens is when you reach that dead end of a particular stage of life of evolution, when you look at the blueprint, it kind of carries it straight through into a complete circle.
It does.
Well, you know, Dora, this is something that that we deal with as parents raising boys. Coming from such a strong matriarchal family, my great-grandmother has something to say, my mother has something to say, and you hear Candy, she's got plenty to say, and she can analyze, and we're all very expressive. So here we are trying to raise these boys who are sick and tired of hearing what a woman has to say. These women, these guys, need to be able to hear what a man has to say. So sometimes I don't think that the guys or my sons are so open to hearing what we say because it's us. They need to hear from a man.
Well, the blueprint.
So, what do we say about that? The blueprint is going to say something, whether if you still have to counsel with the guys, so right?
Well, if I may say, let's go back to the womb. Let's go back to the birth canal.
Okay,
and let's go back to say, let's go back to conception.
Okay.
At conception, we stretch it now. We're stretching way out. We choose our parents, and these your sons at this part of their journey probably need more of the feminine perspective, the feminine take on life, than they would from the male side. That is not to negate the male side.
Okay.
You got to take in consideration that they chose you to navigate them, their little spacecraft, safely to the planet.
Uh-huh.
Now, if there's any resistance in that, it's usually coming from the womb. You know, I call it the male. Sometimes men have a womb complex. He has not gotten in touch with the fact that he started off as female first.
Have mercy.
Right.
Okay.
Have mercy. Oh, help us now.
I say you got to stretch.
Okay.
And this system in which we we've been programmed in does not ever want to really look at that outside the lab. Because a lot of what we learned in school, especially when you get into this level of biology and anatomy, and doctors and all these other people know this, but this is not Sunday afternoon talk.
That right.
When the female is having these kinds of issues, and you can tell this. I guess it's like this conversation that was going on in the chat room. It goes back to this: I have not accepted the fact that inside of me is a feminine energy. That's the male, and inside the woman is the masculine energy. So we are androgynous when we get past personality.
Okay.
And so you're stretching now. And so now I must begin to appreciate that there's a masculine force inside of me.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I got to – this is all part of what I created. This is coming to this dimension and participate in this level of experience that we're choosing to have at this time. And all of it goes back to choice. And what are we choosing is that we have options. And what are our options? Our options are made up of the things that we allow ourselves to be exposed to. And if I'm giving myself a little bitty box, I only have a few options from Grandma, because Grandma's going to give me her box. Mama's going to give me her box. The teacher's going to give me her box. Now, out of all these boxes, I try to find something that resonates with me. So raising boys is not as difficult as single women. They may think that it is, and all you have to do is, I saw a beautiful story, the Ben Carson story.
Right, right.
That was a single woman.
That's right.
Okay, so don't put that down. I think this is more like media hype here. This is a system out here. Should we have both genders in the house? Both? They in the house. You male, female, in one body. They are in the house.
I sure feel it.
Okay, so it's how you integrate that within yourself is what you're going to give your sons. If the sperm donor's in the house, or somebody else's mama's boy's in the house acting as, you know, male parent, absolutely wonderful. They're still going to get male, female. They should get both. They should get that androgynous energy, whether you are male embodiment or female embodiment. Now, we chose to mostly express one of them when it comes to how we're going to share our sexual fluids. That when I get ready to share my sexual energies in an intimate way, I want my polarity gender. That means I'm looking for my male counterpart in the anatomy, in the structure of his body. Everything else, if I've done my homework and I'm at peace with myself, it has nothing to do with my complexion, it has nothing to do with my gender, it has nothing to do with me being a black woman, it has nothing to do with me being a white woman or whatever. That doesn't count now. I mean, put that aside.
Okay.
And get the job done.
Have mercy.
Okay, just get the job done. You are male, female. That's what they're going to get from you. Yeah, there are some things you're going to get from the gender express that he's not going to get from you. But I declare, look around. There are a lot of them already out there. There are a lot of great guys have already mastered. They have blended their androgynous cells into their personality. They don't have to be in the house with you. They could be at school, but, you know, the kids can, they'll tell you, Mama, Mr. So-and-so, and then ask, you know, when you get the blueprint and you start letting it kind of not control you, because it's not meant to control you because it's an introspection tool, it will give you another way of looking at your son, it's not because of his anatomy, but because this is a soul that's androgynous and has his own path to follow. And another thing you realize with the blueprint is you have a different dialogue with your son. And one of the most important things is to realize that he chose you. See, if he had chosen me, I may not have let him come because he's a boy. You know, I may have just kind of, see, some women don't cotton to letting that male energy develop in the womb. They're going to get rid of you. We call those spontaneous abortion. because she just can't handle that kind of energy inside of her because it's like foreign matter. But you, he chose you. I had two sons, chose me because in my makeup, I was fit for, I was prepared to allow them to develop their side, that, you know, that soul side that expresses the maleness or the gender male on the planet. So they knew what they were doing when they chose you. Don't lessen that based on a lot of this idiotic research they got going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do it. Get the blueprint, go back to yourself, get into your intuition, have conversations. So you're at the age where you can have conversation, and they're also at the age where you can go and say, this is a new me. Let me introduce my real self to you.
Wow.
Okay, see you at all times. See, if we get the fact that we are moving into new territory every day,
yeah,
and we have to make up our minds that every day I want to move in some place in my mind that I'm not on memory, I'm not on replay. Most of us on replay, church, school, whatever, grandma, granddaddy, replay. You can help people. Well, my grandma said, okay, now, God, grandma, what'd you say? What do you say? Tell me what you say about that. I got grandma. Grandma, nice. I had grandma, too. And grandma was lovely. I love grandma because grandma got wisdom. But in that wisdom, grandma can't live my life, but I can take grandma's wisdom and see how it applies to me. So get your blueprint, coaching session. Reintroduce yourself to yourself, to you. You got to get you. You know, I got to get me. I got to come back to me. And now, son, or whatever your name is, look, this is what's on my plate now.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going into my secret prayer room, and I want to get to me, and then I want to introduce you to this new woman. Because I want you to know me before I decide to let you come through me. Because one day I will not be acting as parent. Then how are you going to relate to me?
Right.
I still got to be I still got to worry about you when you're out at night. There's some things that you're going to want to experience that I may not let you experience because I'm female. I'm expressing this androgynous side of me as a female. And you think I don't know what it is that you're embarking upon? I do, because there's a man inside of me. I do know what you're doing. I'm not in clue with it right now. But I tell you what, my brother is. You know, my brother's in clue with that. I know this great guy. I know some folks that you can talk. Look, there are some people you can talk to. So what you do is that you expose your guys, your males, to lots and lots of men that you've had interaction with, and you know where their heads are.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Mr. So-and-so is, he's good at this. So I'd like for my son to be, Mr. So-and-so is a farmer. I'd like for my son to be around Mr. Johnny. Then over here, Mr. Mac does plumbing. You put it in context of, once you get their blueprint, you see what it is that they're going to want to do with their life. Find
right.
A man that's already living in that. Just let it flow. And I guarantee you, you're going to have a blissful relationship with your son. Another thing that may come up is when you start having this conversation with them as individuals, not just your son, not the role you're playing, but who they really are, they may freak out too. Like, who is this? Ooh, she for real. She for real. See, people know when you're for real. They're like, oh, now I got to respect that. She's for
right.
She's actually telling me that I chose her. When did I do that? I wouldn't have chosen you. You're crazy. But he But when you talk to them,
uh-huh.
The real place, and you get to the real place by going inward, if you don't ever get the birth blueprint, I would love for you to get it. But if you don't get it, you got you. And you go into you.
Uh-huh.
And you find you. And you're going to give your sons the real you and
uh-huh.
what they can handle. And then you're going to begin to see the real them. So I'll give an example. If I may, give me one of them birth date. I just want to take a peek. Say the one.
April 29th, 1982.
Okay. So April 29th, he is sun sign, he's Aries. That Vedica, you know, the other.
That's Aries?
She uses a different star.
That makes sense to you.
Yes. Jesus.
You thought you're dealing with Taurus, right?
Yes.
Mm-mm. He's Aries. He's sun sign Aries.
Oh, my goodness.
What's his moon, Dora?
Well, okay, let's see. What is his moon? See, right now, he's like, okay, cut. I already got this story.
Huh.
Moon is in Gemini, so he's two people.
Mm-hmm.
He has Aries North Node. His Mars is in Gemini. His Jupiter is in Aries. His best self is in Aries.
Huh.
Me, myself, and I. All dominant. I'm just, look, who you think you are?
Oh.
See what I said? It's how much it's sun is Aries. North Node is Aries.
Oh, my goodness.
Venus is Aries. Mars is in Gemini. Jupiter is in Aries. Now, let's take your job right there. You should have a breath of fresh air. Like, oh, my God. this is a bad man here. Hmm?
If he's Aries. Oh, I'm confused.
Most Aries, is what she's saying, are usually self-starters. Even if they go in the wrong direction, they're usually self-starters. And
they usually motivate. They're self-motivated, but I don't see that.
I'll tell you why you don't see it. You're not looking for it. You're looking for what he's not.
Yes.
You thought he was Taurus.
Yes.
Okay. And let me tell you a key place. See, that's the part of you now you can nurture. He's giving you an opportunity now to be parent. Because, see, Mom, you now see a side of me that you thought was something else. Now, notice how you're going to shift right now when I tell you some things. You're going to start shifting in the way you look at him.
Uh-huh.
Aren't you shifting? So when you see him again, you're going to have a different, your image of him inside of you going to change. So when you see him, that's how you're going to interact with him.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting taking another look at him. So there's another reason. You say, oh, well, he's not a self-starter. He's not motivated. Why is he? Let me look a little deeper.
Why are you still at my house? That's what I want to know. Why are you still here?
He waited for you to give him something that you didn't give him. And he ain't going to leave till you get it. And I want to make a correction here. He actually has a Leo moon because it's April 29th, 82, right?
Right.
I was looking at 87. He has a Leo moon, and he needs a lot of nurturing because he has a Cancer North Node.
Mm-hmm.
He gets scattered because he has a Mars in Leo.
Now, we've always seen the nurturing, the need for nurturing, because he always needs to be close to home. And instinctually, I told her, I said, there's a way to allow him to be very close to home without enabling him or crippling him. Everybody doesn't need to be so far away from home. That doesn't appeal to everyone's personality, because he has always been one that was very into the domesticated portion of his connection, you know.
He is. So he has a Leo moon. That's a big baby moon. It doesn't really want to grow up. A big baby has big baby needs.
Okay.
Okay. And then he has.
That explains it.
And he has a Jupiter, since it changed, looking at the date, he has a Jupiter in Scorpio. So there's a brood and intense side to him.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's not what you would call the typical Aries, but that is his, you know, that is his sun sign.
His sun sign is still Aries.
Still Aries. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. So what you want to take a look at in the blueprint would be that inner part of him. Where is his gift? What is it that he truly, truly wants out of life? We all have this dream. We have this secret. And this is what's going to motivate us. And that dream that he has is in the sign of Cancer. It's not in the aggressive side of the Aries. So you're going to see more of an introspective kind. He can't figure it out. He's like, that my mama got something that I need. And, you know, what we do when we're inside the womb, we're so brilliant before we come out of that canal. And if we look around our parents, we'd be looking at their lives before we come out and say, oh God, it's a one hot mess. But it's time for me to come out of this hole. Oh,
right.
I don't want to come out of this hole. Oh, you want to help her. I chose her, but now I think she's going to sleep. And so, you know, we choose our parents, and it's up for grabs what happens later. Yeah, she was with Billy Bob when I first leaped in. Now she done left him. What am I going to do? But you got to come out at some point. So come out, little muskin. So you're a little muskin that has not come out yet. And so he's waiting to see if it's safe. Is it safe? And are you going to ever come tell him, look here, boy, let's have a real talk. Did he ever tell you, I want to tell you a real story about Jesus. You, Jesus. Say, you, Jesus. You got the Savior within you. And you got to feel that it's good for you. And this is your part of divinity that you came to express. I want you to understand this. You know, when I'm coaching, I get really crazy. So I'm kind of coaching right now.
I'm
kind of like, oh my God, look at here. This is what you got to get. This is what you really want. This is what I didn't know this about you. I felt it. You know what he really wants? He really wants to feel and experience that he's in absolute control of his life, every area. See?
Right.
That's why you kind of like, he won't listen. Huh? And he wants to be this, he has this something about him that when he's in business, that he needs to succeed. And to express his soul's dream, he wants to get in touch with his, he gets so many insecurities, and to get in touch with that, and to stay in touch with that, he has to face his insecurities.
Right.
Who do I tell, who do I let somebody know? That I can't tell my mother that deep down inside I fear rejection, I fear abandonment, and I fear that I'm inadequate.
Uh-huh.
And once he acknowledged these insecurities, because they are coming from a place that he said he was going to master, once he acknowledged these insecurities and give himself a secure base to create the success, he's going to stop fighting himself. He's going to stop fighting, hiding, and suppressing, suppressing his feelings. So he's suppressing. That's what you're getting at. So you got intense. Then we go around suppressing. We get intense. Well, I can't show this. If somebody sees this, I'm weak. But because he comes to deal with that Cancer energy, which is mothering and is sensitive, and it moves with the moon. The moon changes every two and a half days. It's on a new sign. He's acting like this sign this month, and he's this day, and then he's choosing something. It's just one hot mess. See?
Mm-hmm.
Then you clear some space now in your head about him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Dora, let me get you. We only have 11 minutes, which I knew. You know, before my show was 2 hours, and I said, "Oh God, Dora, that was so long." I knew I needed 2 hours with Dora, but I said I'll do 90 minutes because she says she does something in the morning, and I said, "Well, I don't really want to wear her out, so I'll do 90 minutes." Now I wish I'd done more. So we have 10 minutes. Dora had changed her astrology from one system to another. And I'm going to let her explain it to you, but I'm going to just build a foundation of it and then let her tell you the names and everything. But you have a system of astrology that was put into place, and Dory, you can tell me if I'm wrong. And when it was put into place, it was put more into place on a set type of scale, so that, but it didn't move with the universe. We know that the universe rotates, and as the universe rotated, once these names had been assigned to the different constellations and things, then as the Earth rotated, or the universe rotated, it moves from sign to sign. Well, the measurements are off according to most of our commercial astrology. But if we use what the astronomers use, and the astronomers actually move with the actual constellations, so each year or each 5 years or however many years, the degrees kind of move and the constellations move. So depending on the year that you're born, commercial astrology may say you're a Taurus, but as she showed you, his son was in Aries according to the measurements that the astronomers use. Mine is in Taurus according to what the astronomers use. But commercially, it's in Gemini. And you can go, you know, like Dora said, she doesn't force anybody to do anything. You can research yourself and see which one fits your personality. After I actually researched it and saw what actually fit my personality, I told her, I said, we're going to have to go back to the blueprint. I said, because I do see a lot of Taurian things in my astrology birth chart, even though my Mercury is in Taurus, right? Even in the commercial side, my Mercury is in Taurus, which explains some Taurian influences already there. But when we looked at it, my Sun is in Taurus. So if you want to explain the actual names of what I'm speaking of, Dora, take a few minutes and do that.
Oh, thank you, Candy. I'm using to chart the dates. I'm finding through experience, and I'm big on experience. At 61, you really rely on experience a lot and your intuition. You kind of grow into that. The Vedic, because you know yourself. You've had enough experience now. You know how you feel and what resonates with you. Vedic astrology or the sidereal sun sign dates are actually more in alignment with our divine mission to use astrology rather than what we would call using the tropical zodiac that was changed because we're in a system, we have a system on this planet that people love to go around in a circle. And they don't want to get in a straight line because they don't want to see anything new. Because if you see anything new, you got to grow some brain power. You got to actually get out of your neocortex of your brain, that first level that we think with, and go to another place where you find all possibilities in the brain that we use most of our waking moment. There are limited possibilities there, and it's all filled with your beliefs and your little trash. And so if you're judging a book by what's in your neocortex, you have very little book. But once you go inside your inner self and you get to your high heaven in your brain, then you find, wow, it's limited. It's unlimited in here. And so that's what I go with. That's how I use astrology.
Don't stop. Please.
Well, you're unlimited in your thinking. Well, not in your thinking, but in possibilities. Because in that part, you don't have to do any thinking. It just is. You don't have to worry about your emotions. It just is. So using that system and having a background and unlimited, that there are so many options and there are so many ways of living your life and taking the lid off your box if you're in one and just feel the fresh air. So using astrology with the Vedic or the sidereal dates has expanded the way I pull the blueprint together, and it has also expanded the way I coach. Because I find, I tell people, tell you, quite frankly, I've moved on. You going to catch up or not? If you said, well, no, I can't take it, okay, well, real fast to catch me because I'm not coming back this way anymore because I'm out of a circle. So if you're in a circle, you keep going around, you meet the same things. But if you get in a straight line and you keep going forward, guess what? You're going to meet some new people.
Right.
They're going to give you some new insights because now you got to deal with them. So in astrology, in my work, I continue to move forward. First and foremost, no matter what I discover, is always something that I pray for, and this is what I pray for each and every day, is life, divine truth, divine intelligence, divine love, and with that, infinite wisdom. Well, that's got to keep me on the fast track because I got to keep moving forward. I don't forget grandma, granddad. I don't forget. It's all part of the whole. But let's face it, I'm not crawling anymore. I'm not scooting around on the floor. I'm walking, you know, so I have to update even what grandma gave me and put it in the space of my experience. Because when grandma gave it to me, I may have been six. Well, you know how I interpreted it, six? What a six-year-old mind. At six, I was still in Mississippi. What if I was interpreting grandma's information at six? I've had sex, two sons. Grandma stuff worked. It still worked. But now I got to integrate it into a person that has experience. And now from that experience, I've gained wisdom. And that's why, as Candace say, I'll hear my young people talk, and I'll go, keep going to sleep and waking up.
Right.
Okay. Did that make sense?
You know, yes. It makes sense.
All right, thank you.
So, Valerie, you get your blueprint done first.
Yes.
Okay.
You have to find your birth certificate, which I've been asking you to do for about 2 years.
Okay. All right.
And then once you do that, then we can get that done. And I have a couple of other people. I also mentioned it to Joquel about Ryan because she has a lot of challenges with Ryan, and I have challenges with Taylor. Taylor, of course, was the first one that I got the blueprint with. But then after she sent me Evans, I was so glad she sent me Evans because Evan is the quiet one. The quiet ones are the ones that hold the mystery. We want the disruptive ones because we want to control them. But once I read Taylor's and realized the lesson that she was here to teach me after I read the blueprint, I said, okay, that's that. You know, I understand now, you know. She's here. Her north node is in Aquarius. You know, she's here to break down and build up, and it's all kind of stuff in there. With Evans, it was really informative. We only have 1 minute left. So it goes to show you that it's definitely a fingerprint to the personality. And, Dora, thank you for coming on. And, Val, thank you for calling in. And I will give you Dora's information when we get off here so that you can get started on your blueprint.
Okay.
And
thank you so much, Dora. I really appreciate making the connection with you today.
Oh, you are very welcome. And, Candy, if I just may say one thing to Valerie.
Okay.
Do you have your birth date?
Yes, I have my birth date.
Okay, and you do not know what time you were born?
I have an approximate time, but not the exact time.
Okay. Well, if you don't find your birth certificate, and this is what I do, I can regress you back into your birth room, and you can see the clock yourself. So don't ever not get in touch with me because you don't have the birth time on your birth certificate. A lot of the birth times that's on the birth certificate are incorrect.
Okay.
Okay, so don't let that stop you. You can give me a call if you can't find it, so you look for it today and it doesn't show. Then just give me a call, and I'll regress you, and, hey, it's on.
I will.
Time anyway than the one that's printed.
Okay. We'll do that. I'm going to make a connection as soon as we get off the line.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Okay, Dora. Thank you, guys.
Thanks again.
All right. Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.